This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Researching and reporting about red light traffic cameras for more than 10 years and has been living with them in the Washington, D.C. area for many years as well. Richard, it's an honor to have you back on the program. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, it's great to be back on. Thank you.
So we have a number of things we want to talk about, and we want to open up the phone lines to our listeners at 977-1070. Just to bring folks up to speed, Albemarle County has authorized a foreign company based in Sydney, Australia, named Redflex, to set up a camera to take pictures and video here in our community at Route 29 North and Rio Road. They have part of the deal is that they have authorized up to $120,000 a year or $10,000 a month to be taken out of our local economy and sent to Australia. They have delayed the implementation of the red light camera. It was to have gone live this week, I believe, and they have delayed that temporarily. And Richard Diamond joins us, and we have a whole lot we want to talk about. But before we get into specifics, Richard, remind us again your general impression, just generally speaking, about these cameras. And it really is basically we're talking about it's a scam and it's a moneymaker. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. The cameras are put forward as something that's going to, you know, create a halo of safety on intersections throughout the entire city. But the reality is, it just doesn't happen. We have data from the Virginia Department of Transportation and University of Virginia. They studied 7 years' worth of camera use in the Commonwealth, and it resulted in a net increase of all types of injuries, accidents, and the bottom line is the cameras went up, more people ended up in the body shop, and more people ended up in the hospital.
So that is the reality, that these cameras literally make intersections more dangerous, not less dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, the quick explanation for that, because to some it may seem counterintuitive, is that when you come up to an intersection that has a camera, some people know the camera's there, some people don't. The people who do know it's there tend to react by panic braking. They see the camera there, the light turns yellow. They slam on the brakes because they don't want that ticket. And what happens is the guy behind may not know the camera's there, has taken by surprise, and wham, you've got a big rear-end accident.
And this is not anecdotal. It is anecdotal, but it's not only anecdotal. This is what studies are showing throughout this country and Canada.
Absolutely. It's the same thing in the District of Columbia, same thing in Virginia, same thing in Edmonton, Canada. Same thing in Winnipeg, Canada. Same thing in Chicago, Illinois, and the suburbs there. I mean, any study that isn't done by somebody who makes money from this program shows an increase in accidents, or at best, no change.
We're talking with Richard Diamond of the Washington Times about red light cameras. So then, what would possess Albemarle County, for example, Richard, to go out of their way to make one of our intersections more dangerous?
Well, what happens is you have companies like Redflex come in with this great sales presentation. They say, hey, let us come in. We'll put up the cameras, and you'll be able to go out and tell your constituents that you're doing this for safety. But we'll cut you a check every year or every month. We'll deposit money in your account when this thing makes money, and we will guarantee that you will not lose any money. So from their perspective, the worst that happens is they don't make any money. The best that happens is they have millions to blow on, you know, some new government program.
We're talking with Richard Diamond, and Gary's waiting patiently online too. Gary, you're on the program. Go right ahead.
How are you doing this afternoon?
Very good.
I was just telling your man a minute ago that already twice today, I don't know, it's got to be the people listening to the show. They're aware of these cameras are going to be put up. I think some people I even talked to thought cameras were up this past Monday. Twice today, coming down 29 North, One was an elderly couple that hit the brakes as the light was turning yellow, and they slid. There's a wide white marker at every stoplight where you're supposed to stop at. Traffic was just traveling normal speed, and the light turned yellow. Other cars went through the yellow light like they normally do. An elderly couple hit the brakes. They must have skidded 14 feet past the white marker. And then at another, and then at Polo Grounds Road, the same thing. As I was coming back into town this afternoon, somebody slammed on the brakes and went and skidded, actually left marks past the white stop section there. And I just think it's crazy. I think people are going to, what your man was saying a minute ago about causing accidents, I think it's going to cause a tremendous amount of accidents on 29 North. And I think there's going to be anger, anger enough to spread around to everybody when it starts happening. It's hard enough to drive down 29 in the afternoon anyhow. People are tend to get into the left lane, which I don't know how many people in Charlottesville actually know driver etiquette, to tell you the truth. If you're going 40 miles an hour, 35 miles an hour, you should be over in the right lane to start with. But when they switch over, so it's hard enough dealing with traffic on 29 North going in and out in the afternoons. To add this to the mix, people are going to come to every light. As they're approaching the light, they're probably going to slow down from 30 to 40 miles an hour. They're going in the passing lane, probably down to 20 miles an hour, just to be on the safe side. It's just going to cause a lot more accidents. I think it's just a plain stupid idea.
Gary,
I can't believe the city and county are agreeing to this.
Gary, thank you so much. I appreciate the call. Thanks for joining the program. We just want to point out that this is not in the city. The city has been authorized to install one, but they have not. The county is the one that is doing this, and a red light camera is due to be installed at Route 29 and Rio Road. Richard, we're talking with Richard Diamond, and he is an editor at the Washington Times. He's been studying red light cameras for over a decade. Richard, tell us what you can about this company, because there's a lot of folks who they may be okay with a camera, but then when they start learning that we're talking about a foreign company in Australia and that the county has authorized up to $120,000 a year to leave our economy here in Central Virginia and go to Australia with this thing, who is Redflex? Who is this company and what do we know about them?
Sure. Redflex started in the mid-90s as a defense contractor. They made communication systems for the Australian Navy. And then somewhere along the line, they started working on red light camera systems in Australia, and they were and speed cameras because they have speed cameras over there. And they suddenly realized, wow, we can make a lot of money with this. And they decided to they looked at the landscape and they said, hey, let's go to America. We can make a ton of money there. And so around 2001, they actually purchased a U.S. company that sold red light cameras and speed cameras in the U.S., and they took it over. And now they get about $135 million a year from red light camera tickets and speed camera tickets, mostly, almost all of it coming from the U.S. They also have installations in kind of places you would consider not very friendly to freedom, like Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates. They're finding the next lucrative place is the Middle East. And so this company, what it does, what Redflex does, is it handles every aspect of the system. It installs the cameras. It certifies that they're accurate. It decides who's guilty. It mails the money. It collects the money. In fact, there's absolutely nothing that Albemarle County will be doing other than pressing a button that says, "Sure, send all those tickets. We agree." And there's no guarantee that like an actual human being in Albemarle County, like the police department, is actually going to look at any of those violations, because Redflex is providing a turnkey solution to them. They do everything.
It's amazing. We're talking with Richard Diamond, and Kim is waiting patiently. Kim, you're on the program. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi there. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I can't believe this. They're having this in Charlottesville here. You know, we're supposed to have some of the brightest people, and we're supposedly electing some of the brightest people, but they're just dumb. And, you know, Central Virginia has basically, I believe, just lost, I don't know, I guess it's character, and I don't know, we're just becoming, if it looks good, I guess they decide to do it. If everybody else is doing it, it becomes like cookie cutter. And that's what Charlottesville and Albemarle County is, cookie cutter. And cookie cutter, and the biggest thing is because of greed and money. And that's all this is. This has nothing to do with our quality of life.
Kim, thank you for the call. I think we got a bad connection, but I want to thank you for joining the program. And just to point out, she was saying Charlottesville. This is a county effort. We just want to make that distinction. We have two municipalities here in Central Virginia, a city and a county, and this red light camera will be in the county, Albemarle County, in 29 North and Ryle Road. Floyd is on the program. Floyd, thank you for the call, buddy. You go right ahead.
Thank you, Coy. Two comments. One, how would these this company from Australia issuing these traffic tickets or these citations be any different than the mop lady issuing these foreclosure notices for Bank of America? You knew about that. They had people who didn't know squat signing thousands and thousands of these home foreclosures, and they were sent out illegally to the people that were losing their homes and have lost their homes.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead and ask your second one, too.
Okay, well, the second one is they use these red light cameras in D.C., and I wonder who they use, because they farm it out, too. They farm out all their parking meters in D.C. Lockheed Martin manages all the parking meters in D.C. and become quite profitable and quite successful with it. Used to be they had the old meters that the guys would go along with the log roller and break them open and take the quarters out. Now they have a little pedestal that you put your credit card in. You have to charge at least $350 to park in a space up there. And Lockheed processes it. They get all the money, and they share some with the D.C. I wonder how this is any different than that.
Floyd, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Great questions. Richard, you want to tackle any of those?
Yeah, sure. You know, the question is the person doing this going to be the equivalent of the mop lady? And the answer is absolutely yes. The people who review these violations work for Redflex. They're paid like $8 an hour, you know, whatever the lowest prevailing wage they can pay. And there's no penalty if they falsely accuse you of running a red light. So there is only one incentive that they have, and that is to find you guilty, no matter whether the violation is real or if it's marginal, or, you know, if it means they just guess who the number on the license plate that's unclear. So, you know, the only incentive they have is to issue the ticket, no matter if it's wrong, because they only get paid if they send a ticket out. And they're hoping that that if you get a violation and you weren't guilty, you'll just pay it anyway because it's less hassle to pay.
So they just throw everything at the wall hoping something sticks, and studies show that people do that. They don't really fight them. They'll just write a check and send it in.
Right, yeah. The whole deck is stacked against anybody who gets one of these tickets from Redflex and the similar company. It's American Traffic Solutions in D.C. It's all about making money, and if you want to challenge a ticket, it costs money. You've got to get a really good lawyer, and the way the laws are written, it's the deck is stacked against the individual, and the burden of proof shifts onto the ticket recipient to prove he's not guilty.
We're talking with Richard Diamond of the Washington Times about red light cameras. Richard, the phone lines are open, 977-1070. We'll go back to the phones in just a minute here. But Richard, I did want to ask you about the gentleman in Arizona who's filed a racketeering suit against the same company that Albemarle County is working with, Redflex, and he is making some headways, filed a federal RICO statute against them.
Yeah, it's an interesting case. A man got a ticket in Tempe, Arizona. His name is Dan Gutenkopf. And in Arizona, unlike Virginia, when you get a ticket, the law says you have to personally identify the driver. Yeah, positively identify the driver, because in Arizona, you get points along with your speed camera tickets and your red light camera tickets. So what happened is Mr. Gutenkopf happens to have an identical twin brother. And so he went to court, and he goes to the judge, hey, look, I've got an identical twin brother. He's listed on my insurance policy for my van. How can these guys testify that they made a positive ID? And the judge said, well, I don't care. You're guilty. So Mr. Gudenkauf, he appealed, and the next level judge reversed the municipal court's decision. And what the federal suit now says is that the whole system in Tempe, Arizona, where you got a you got Redflex issuing the tickets, you got the city kind of managing the process, and a municipal court that's just rubber stamping everybody guilty, that it's a concerted effort to deprive citizens of their due process rights. And he's hoping that's a winning RICO suit.
Amazing. Let's go back to the phones. Amy is waiting patiently. Amy, you're on the program. Go right ahead.
Hey, thank you. Couple of thoughts. I feel like, you know, we're talking a lot about this company and kind of vilifying them, which to me just sounds like good old capitalism. They found a niche and are taking advantage of it. I think the problem is if nobody purchased their service, then they wouldn't be around. And so I think the onus is on us and our elected officials. We have a problem at those intersections. We've all probably didn't want to wait for the next light cycle and ran and blocked impeded other traffic. I mean, the law is you don't block an intersection. And I think the county could hire not full-time police officers, but traffic police officers that don't even carry guns to sit there on a bike and write tickets to every car that enters the intersection, knowing intelligently that they're not going to clear that intersection.
Amy, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I think we have a problem with that line, and we're having a hard time hearing folks on it, and I am sorry. But, Richard, I think you did hear most of what she had to say, I guess.
Yeah, I did. You know, her basic point was we're focusing too much on the company that's going to be performing the service and not the people who brought them in the first place, which would be the Albemarle County. And actually, we also should throw blame on the legislature itself. I guess former Governor Tim Kaine and actually the current governor signed legislation enabling what's going on. Here's what the legislature did wrong. They had evidence from the Virginia Department of Transportation and the University of Virginia that said red light cameras increase accidents. But in 2007, they said, we don't care. We're reauthorizing these programs, and you can put up as many cameras as you want. And that is, the caller is exactly right. They should be held to account for that terrible decision.
We're talking with Richard Diamond on Charlottesville right now. We're going to have to take a quick break for local news and weather. Richard, can you stay with us for a few more minutes?
I can.
Fantastic. Richard Diamond is an editor at the Washington Times. We're taking your calls, and we are getting educated about red light traffic cameras. One is due to be set up here in our community at Route 29 North and Rio Road by Albemarle County. We'll take a very quick break and be back in just a few moments. Let's rejoin our conversation with Richard Diamond. He is an editor at the Washington Times. He's been researching and reporting on red light traffic cameras for more than 10 years. Albemarle County is about to have its very first red light traffic camera at Route 29 North and Rio Road. And I guess, Richard, one thing I just wanted to say before we go any further is, it's a shame I have to keep saying this, but I do want to just underscore this fact that I'm the first one to say that intersection is broken and we do need to do something. And I do want to stop people running red lights, but I don't want to see it a broken intersection turned into a moneymaker for government with foreign cameras, when all they have to do is go out there and fix the intersection. But there's no money in that, is there?
No. There are a lot of things that local governments can do to make intersections safer. Most studies show that lengthening the duration of yellow lights can significantly reduce violations. And in fact, 20 years ago, if you looked at an engineering manual, it would say if you have too many violations, lengthen the yellow. But as soon as red light cameras kind of entered the picture, that provision was kind of taken out of the books. And they say, instead of lengthening yellow, put up cameras instead. Use enforcement. And what you have is, instead of going and looking at, using turn lanes, more visible signals, signal backings, to so that people can see the signals, over sun glare and better pavement marking. Instead of doing those things, which cost money, you use enforcement, and your bank account grows. That is a very perverse incentive, and one we should never have.
Yeah, and then you create a government that's dependent upon a broken intersection. They don't want to fix it.
Yeah, exactly. And what happens is there are several cases where cities have actually kind of gone against the grain and fixed intersections, despite the incentive. I'll give you one example. Loma Linda, California, they just went to their dangerous intersections. They had a red light camera program. They lengthened the yellow. And what happened was now the program was losing money. And Loma Linda, the mayor actually just said, quoted in an article yesterday, said, "I hate these cameras more than anything. I want to get rid of them." But he's trapped in the contract with Redflex, and he can't get out of it.
We're talking with Richard Diamond of the Washington Times. Dennis is on the program. Dennis, you're on with Richard Diamond. You go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I didn't hear your whole program. Have these systems shown to decrease deaths or improve the flow of traffic?
It's a great question, and we'll put it to Richard Diamond, who's been studying them for a long time. Do they accomplish the goal that they say they're being used for?
No, they certainly don't. The Virginia Transportation Research Council found a 29% increase in accidents in Virginia over the whole seven years that they were used up in Northern Virginia. Okay, injuries increased 18%. Now, as far as traffic flow, it doesn't help traffic flow at all, because what you have is people stopping on yellow lights where they ordinarily would have kind of just gone through, and it creates kind of an accordion effect, and it makes things much worse for traffic flow than if you just kept the intersection without cameras. And
yeah, Richard, let me ask you this. We got a line open at 977-1070. Let me ask you this, because somebody emailed me and said, well, you shouldn't have an objection to this because you'll only get in trouble if you run a red light. But one thing that you had shared with us is that, this company Redflex in Australia, they have been shown to send tickets out just left and right to people who are caught in the intersection during heavy traffic, to people who stop over that line where you're supposed to stop, where, let's admit it, not all of us stop at that big white line. Some of us stop a little bit over it, or you're taking a right turn on red. They'll send you a ticket.
Yeah. What these systems depend on for the bulk of their revenue is technical violations that have absolutely nothing to do with safety. For example, in Virginia Beach, they put up a camera on a dedicated right turn lane, the kind of lane where, you're usually expecting you just yield the traffic. You don't even need to stop because there's no reason. You're in a dedicated turn lane, and that particular intersection is a massive moneymaker, because people go into it thinking it's just a normal yield intersection. They got a camera there, and it's just flashing away left and right. As people make their turns, 80% of violations that happen at intersections that aren't in a turn lane happen less than 1 second after the light changes from yellow to red.
Less than 1 second.
Less than 1 second. So we're talking the biggest number of tickets happens in a third of a second, which is literally a blink of an eye. So you have a system that can see the light change in the blink of an eye, but no human police officer would dream of ticketing somebody for a violation that minor. That's even assuming the cop could see it.
Yeah. We're talking with Richard Diamond, and let's go to Charles. Charles, you're on the program. Go right ahead.
Question. Well, maybe a statement. If you have one intersection with 2 miles going either way, you do not have a timing issue because you only have one. But where you have multiple intersections, like on 29 North, with different traffic from side to side trying to, either get on or get off, all of a sudden now you're into timing multiple lights instead of just saying set it at 25 miles an hour and it will work. How is that dealt with, and how do traffic engineers accommodate for that?
That's a great question. Thank you, Charles. Richard, do you have any insight on that?
Well, I can't speak specifically to the intersection, but what happens today is when timing on lights is being set by engineers, all of the criteria that they use to judge, you know, traffic volume, how long people take to stop, the speed that traffic is flowing, they've all been kind of engineered so that the yellow light is shorter than it should be. I'll give you a very concrete example. The speed limits on red light camera intersections in Virginia are set well below how fast people are actually driving. How fast people are driving, it's a number known as the 85th percentile speed. That's how fast people are actually going. And what happens is you have cities and counties setting those limits like 10, 15 miles per hour below what people are actually traveling. And guess what? The amount of time it takes for a car to stop depends on how fast he's actually going, not how fast bureaucrats want you to go. And so what you have is that's exactly what creates a dangerous situation. You have people, because of bureaucrats trying to engineer the way people move, you have people that don't have enough time to stop, and that creates accidents.
We're talking with Richard Diamond. And Gary, I can only add that, I'm sorry, Charles, I just want to add that in the couple of email exchanges that I have had with VDOT, is they said that they are not going to retime the lights so that they are in sync with other lights on 29, but they will come back in a few months and see if there is a problem. So I got the old, you know, we're monitoring the situation kind of thing. Gary is with us. Hey, Gary, you go right ahead.
Hey, Coy, thanks. I really appreciate you staying on top of this topic. This is outrage, as I've mentioned in past calls as well. I would hope that we could maybe have you get one of the Board of Supervisors members on sometime in the near future to talk about this, somebody that voted for this, and to really pin them down as to why they did so. The other comment I would have to make is that Lieutenant Ernie Allen from the County Police Department was quoted in the Hook newspaper's article as saying the police are going to look at each one of these before they issue a citation. I know Ernie personally. You know, I believe him if he says that. I'm opposed to this anyway. And the question I'd pose to Mr. Diamond is, aren't there communities that have done this and then decided, whoops, we don't like this, it's not working, and they've pulled it? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Gary, thank you so much for the call. And I think there's a number of them, aren't there, Richard?
Yeah, there's quite a few. I just gave the example of Loma Linda, California. You know, they made intersection improvements, and the system stopped making money. They said, to heck with this, get rid of it. There are places in Florida that have gotten rid of the cameras after all of a sudden the state passed a law that said, you can't ticket people turning right on red if the turn was made carefully and prudently. Boom, they lost the revenue. They got rid of it. So usually what happens is the jurisdictions get rid of these when they stop becoming moneymakers. The other way that these things kind of go away is when the public rises up and bans them. And that happened in May in Sykesville, Maryland, where 61% of the voters there said, we don't want these things, with a referendum. There are 5 votes coming in November 2nd in Houston, Texas, and a city in Ohio, Anaheim, California, and a city in Washington. So there's going to be 5 elections in November that I'm sure your listeners might take an interest in.
Yeah, and I also know that there was a locality down in Georgia where the local representative in the Georgia legislature just got real upset about them and said, you know, this is wrong. We shouldn't be doing this to people. Let's just fix the intersection. And that's exactly what they did. And they the accidents are gone, and they just went ahead and fixed the intersection, and trying to, instead of the government trying to make money off an intersection that they had previously refused to fix. Let's go to Pat, is on the program. Pat, go right ahead.
Yes, my question is this. Okay, first of all, I think the situation is ridiculous. To me, it does not make any sense at all. But my question is this. If I was to lend my car to someone else, and if they run the red light and the car is registered to me, would the ticket be mailed to me because the car is registered to me?
That's an excellent question. Richard, what have we seen?
Sure. In Virginia, the ticket goes to the registered owner, and it doesn't matter if you were driving or not. The only way you can get out of the ticket is if you finger the person who was driving, and you can transfer liability to somebody else. So, in other words, unless you become an informant against some, you know, a family member or a friend, you have to pay up.
Pat, thank you for the call. Richard, what about these things we see advertised online, this product you can spray on your license plates so that the cameras won't see the numbers?
Yeah, unfortunately, that stuff doesn't work. These cameras use video, and you know, a lot of people think it's just a flash photography, but it's not. It's video. So if you can see your plate, the camera can see it, and there's just no way of getting out of it unless you have a couple, like a James Bond-style license plate flipper that kind of blocks your plate as you're going past the camera.
Yeah.
And if you get caught with one of those, you're not going to get a very friendly reception from the local police.
We're talking with Richard Diamond. He is an editor at the Washington Times. We've got a line open for you at 977-1070. We're talking about red light cameras. The Central Virginia community is about to get its very first red light camera at Route 29 and Rio Road. The Albemarle County Board of Supervisors has signed a contract with a company in Australia that will install cameras here in our community. And it's the deal authorizes them to take up to $120,000 a year out of our local economy and ship it off to Australia. Richard, we had Gary, who called earlier, raise an interesting point about the sort of the politics of this and what the legislators, local representatives on the Board of Supervisors might have to say about it. Based on what I've heard, they said nothing. They're just sitting on their hands. And yet we have supposedly a new conservative alliance on the board. And frankly, just speaking for myself candidly, I've been shocked that they haven't come forward and tried to stop this thing, because it would seem to me that there are so many elements here that are so unconservative and just big government. This is not good for local business. You've got foreign companies putting up cameras in your neighborhood. This is a violation of the Virginia Constitution. It's Big Brother. I mean, I could keep going. What are your thoughts?
What you have is a lot of local jurisdictions are hurting for money, and when you have people who pass themselves off as conservatives saying, we're not going to raise taxes, they're in a bind, and they want to increase revenue without taxes. And you've got, you know, the companies like Redflex coming in and saying, we're the solution to your problem. We're going to deposit money in your account. You don't have to do anything. It's not a tax increase. Just give us the ability to send tickets on your behalf, and we'll take care of all the rest. And there's certainly nothing conservative about entering into a deal like that. It's a deal with the devil.
Let's go back to the phones. Bob is with us. Bob, you're on with Richard Diamond. You go right ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call. My question is, what is the data of the number of accidents in this at this particular intersection? I've heard you talk about this for a while, and I'm absolutely in agreement with you. We do not need these cameras. But have there been studies? Has any of the information been made public about the volume of accidents at this intersection? Thank you.
Bob, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And I have to say, I have not seen any specific numbers. I can't remember if they are in the Hook cover story or not, or to what degree they've been made public. But clearly there is a problem. I mean, we all live here, and we know that that's a hard intersection to get through. And I will say one of the reasons is it is hard is because the green light and yellow light times on Rio Road are kept very short because VDOT is specifically trying to hold down on cross traffic on Route 29 because it's a state highway. So they're trying to lessen the time that people have to actually stop that north-south flow of traffic. Richard?
Yeah, I don't happen to have the specific accident numbers on that intersection. They should be available from VDOT. If you call up, you can ask for it. But, I can tell you what happens around the country, that a lot of times you look at the accident data for these intersections, and there's really the cameras don't go up at the places with the most accidents. They go up at the places with the highest volume and the shortest yellow. And that's a fact. That's even available in memos that were obtained in a court trial in San Diego, where the red light camera vendor didn't admit, because these were confidential documents, where it just spelled out their number one criterian for deciding where to put up a camera is traffic volume, because that's where they make the most money.
Where they have the most cars going through the intersection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the most cars going through with the shortest yellow.
We're talking with Richard Diamond of the Washington Times. And Richard, let me ask you about the Institute for Highway Safety. I got an email this week from one of their engineers saying, hey, we've done studies that show these cameras are great, and I support them. What are your thoughts on those studies?
Yeah, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety has a vested interest in this question. IIHS, most people think of them as the firm that does the crash test dummies. They rate your cars on how safe they are. But the other side of that, of IIHS, the Insurance Institute, is it represents the 70 biggest insurance companies in the country. And I mentioned Arizona, you get points with your red light camera tickets. You also get points in California. Those are two really big states. And so somebody gets a camera ticket in one of those locations, what happens is their insurance rates go up. And their insurance rates go up, that means the insurance companies make more money. So it's a very direct financial conflict for them. They're making tens of millions of dollars every year from red light camera tickets. So, of course, their studies just happen to be happen to find that the cameras are great. It's like asking the Tobacco Institute, hey, are the cigarettes making people healthier? Of course they're going to say yes.
And doesn't the Highway Safety Group, don't they have a public relations function as well?
Yeah, that's actually one of their main functions, is to advocate government policy that enriches the insurance industry. It's not just a research group. It's a research and advocacy organization. You can, if you don't believe me, go to their website, and they spell it out right there.
Richard Diamond is an editor at the Washington Times. We've been honored to have him back on the program. This interview will be podcast online at wina.com. Richard, I can't thank you enough. Always fascinating and great information, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on.
That's Richard Diamond, and he's online at the Washington Times. He has been researching and reporting on red light traffic cameras for more than 10 years. Albemarle County getting ready to install its first red light camera at Route 29 and Rio Road. We will continue on this program to learn about these cameras, and I will continue to share my personal thoughts that this is a bad idea. And I am ashamed that we have a local government that authorizes a foreign company to put up cameras in our community and take money out of our local economy. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.